Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. My name is Mikey Bones, and I'm joined by Cat Velour, Rob Humphrey. Guys, it is time.
Beck and Oi.
Oi! Yeah, Cat's back. What's going on, Cat?
Hey.
Rob, me and you were speculating last week on where Cat was.
Yeah. I know we had some good guesses.
Unfortunately, Cat was able to confirm after we spoke with her, she did not go to the mac and cheese ball.
No. Fucking mistake.
If I had known it was there, I would have made time for it.
You fecked up.
I am having some mac and cheese right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. What I did during the break is I made mac and cheese.
Cat, I did too. Literally. Okay, I don't feel as bad now. Beautiful. Where did you go, Cat? Because the listeners, I'm sure, are invested.
I went to the Cleveland Tattoo Convention.
All right.
I spoke to some tattoo artists about getting a saw tattoo. So,
ooh.
Wheels are turning. No, I actually saw some really fantastic saw tattoos at the convention, believe it or not.
Wow. Rob, are one of those yours?
No, trust me, no.
No, you sure? All right. Guys, it's time for Murder Madness. It's here.
For the Lord Humphrey Cup.
It's not the Lord Humphrey Cup.
Yeah, it's the Vernal Lord Humphrey Cup.
God damn it. I don't even know what these things mean. I can't stand them. For anybody who's new, this is where we get in a lot of trouble from our listeners and a lot of trouble with each other. It's March Madness style brackets.
Cat's favorite thing of the year.
Mm-hmm. Cat loves them. And Rob, would you like to tell them where we landed? Because it was your idea. This topic.
Yeah, but I don't really know how to explain it.
Wow. Good job, buddy.
So it's essentially originals and remakes. We're going to have the originals on one side of the bracket. We are going to crown the best of those movies. And then we're going to have the remakes on the other side. We are going to crown the best of those movies. And the two winners are going to battle it out for the Lord Humphrey Cup and the championship.
I like it. And a little bit of look behind the curtain. Our patrons know, because some of it's been in our Easter egg. We were having a fuck of a time coming up with a topic for this, but I'm glad we landed here.
Yes, because this was the easy route.
It was the easy route, but it's also like you said, it's remakes, it's originals. They're so it's such a battle, and I think it's fair to line them up on opposite ends and let the kings of each side of the bracket battle it out in the middle.
Yep. I'm always looking forward to this. Always a lot of fun. Love me some Murder Madness for the Lord Humphrey Cup.
For the Vernal Lord Humphrey Cup. I don't know if it's fair to send them against each other in the way that we're doing, but I will say I think this is going to be a lot more fun.
Yeah, I think we were as fair as we could be doing it this way. You know, like, you never know. What if, after all the shit that we talk, like, what if a remake wins in the end?
Well, I mean, My feelings on this are it's a bullshit made up tournament for a bullshit made up cup. Fairness doesn't really matter.
Way to hype it up, Rob. Good job.
I'm just saying.
Good job.
We're gonna have a tough time, I think. With a half of the bracket, with tonight's half of the bracket, we're gonna blood's gonna be shed.
Probably. And our listeners love it. We love it too because it's fun. Cat hates it. I'm not even gonna try it, but it's fun. I hope we don't get any more iTunes reviews over this one. But
that'd be nice.
It's nice that Yeah, that's true. Go review us on iTunes. I hope we do. I hope we don't get any negative feedback in our reviews like we did in the
yeah, can we just get some 5-star positive reviews, by the way? It really helps with the algorithm, pushes us out there a little bit.
Seriously.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like we have a Patreon, obviously, patreon.com/radio. That's the hub for pretty much everything now.
Rob, you said a serious thing. I really thought that was going to turn into a bit.
What?
But it was just like nice advice.
Yeah.
Not everything's a bit,
to the listeners. I know, I was surprised.
You get serious every now and then. But yeah, if you can't sign up for the Patreon, which we wish you would, at least go check it out. That's free to review it. Like if you're listening on iTunes, you haven't reviewed us yet, take 10 seconds, please.
Yeah, it's a great way to support the show and it doesn't cost anything.
Yes. Before that, we're going to get to the news. This week, we are going to do the originals. Like Rob said, remakes versus originals. Left side of the bracket is going to be all the original movies in this. Right side is going to be all the remakes. Obviously, everything, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street original and remake will be on there and so on. Mm-hmm. Everything has a counterpart on the other side of the list, to be fair. Right.
And the matchups are random, so.
Yeah, random.
That's always important to point out to people.
We're not seeding anything. I have a wheel that we're going to be looking at. It's completely random. Matchups mean everything. You know, I do want to mention, I was fucking with the wheel while we were doing the Patreon show just to make sure everything was working right. And I spun it once just to make, you know, just whatever. And I got Evil Dead, the original. Okay. And I said, all right, let me see what the matchup would have been. Black Christmas.
Yeah, let's not do that first.
That would have sucked. It would have been a Pinhead versus fucking Jason thing all over again in the first round.
Because I don't know what I'm voting for in that circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah. So
literal first round of the bracket. That would have been crazy.
That would have sucked. First round, first go. Yeah. So this week we're going to do the originals. Next week will be the remakes. And then the week after round two. And so on and so forth until we're done. I think it's usually like a 3-4 week process, maybe three.
Yep.
But before we get to all that, we are going to get to some horror news. And oh shit, we have a voicemail too. That's what I was literally sitting here earlier saying, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Oh, good, a voicemail.
It's from Greg.
Ah, feck.
Stop saying feck. Do you guys want to get to drink roll call real quick before we get to the voicemail?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm drinking a Long Island iced tea.
I don't know what the fuck to expect from Kat now.
I don't know either.
I'm drinking Diet Pepsi and Sailor Jerry. I want to get to Kat and see what she's got going on there.
Yeah.
I'm drinking straight whiskey today.
Just whiskey.
Yeah, I just have Jack Daniels in a cup.
All right, nice. Did you put some ice in there?
No, I did not.
All right. Kat's getting ready for this tournament. All right.
Yeah, I wanted the extra strength for Murder Madness.
That is both impressive and disgusting, Kat.
That is fair.
I was kind of hoping we'd forget about drink roll call today.
There you go.
Did you not have a mixer or?
No. That's not entirely true, but the soda that is left in the house is Pepsi, and I didn't want to go out, so. These were my choices.
You didn't want a Jack and Peepsy?
I didn't want a Jack and Peepsy.
Okay, that's fair. All right, guys, it's time for Greg's Hot Take Corner.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually, I was relieved that I didn't miss the Hot Take Corner, and then I felt vaguely threatened on Twitter.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes on there. Yeah, I held it just for you, Kat. I held it another week.
You traced a call. It's coming from inside the house.
917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. You would like to leave a voicemail. You could talk about anything car related, show related. We'll play it. And
before you do this, we should say, though, Kat wasn't here last week, and we should thank Allie for filling in.
Thank you, Allie.
Gotta.
Yes.
Did you hear the episode, Kat?
I have started the episode. I'm not all the way through the episode.
All right.
Because I had to come do this episode, or I missed another week.
Great Allie's performance filling in for you, but spoiler alert, she didn't bring any reviews.
Rob ranked her performance, Kat.
Wow.
Gave her performance a Portnoy score, and I believe it was a 6.2.
Honestly, Allie, that's not bad.
That's she said.
Twice Funny Games, so.
Yeah, and considering.
She wasn't as boring as Funny Games.
Oh, and considering I didn't see Kat's message like the idiot that I am, and she didn't respond to my message when I messaged her, and she got on the show in about 7 or 8 minutes. Not bad at 6.2.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Thank you, Allie. Stop making posters. Do you see that cocaine shark thing? Or no, the cocaine whatever, possum? The possum? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Never stop making posters, Allie. Never.
Never.
Where the hell is this thing? All right, here it is. So here we go. We do not condone what Greg says. These are Greg's hot takes and his loan.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Robert. Hello, Kat. It is I, Darth Gregor, back with another series of hot takes. However, before I get to those, I want to say a couple things. Amber and I challenge Rob and Kat to your horror movie trivia thing. 2, Michael, this one's directed at you. I only go the what when it's WH, not when it's like with or without. No, it's got to be the WH. Okay, now that we cleared that up, horror movie hot takes. Jeepers Creepers Reborn is an overhated, so bad it's good film that is definitively better than part 3, and dare I say, almost better than 1 and/or 2.
Oh.
Philip, you know, the marionette in Dream Warriors is the best Nightmare on Elm Street kill. I did a tournament, I would know. Black Xmas 2006 is the best Christmas horror movie. I did a tournament, I would know. And the last one I'm going to leave you with is that Malignant is a better movie than X. Thank you. Goodbye.
So I thought I was going to get out of there unscathed, honestly, because I don't give a shit about Jeepers Creepers. One way or another.
Honestly, yeah, Reborn probably is the best one just based off of who is working on it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even seen Reborn. I don't care about that one way or another. And then what was the other thing he said? There's the second one too. I don't remember.
Philip being the best kill. And
yeah, I actually agree with that.
Correct.
I think that might be correct. It's not so outlandish that I wouldn't accept it anyway. But then the madness started. I mean, Black Xmas being the best Christmas horror film is absurd. Just patently
absurd.
It's
not even the
absurd.
Best Black Christmas film.
No. Does he think that?
He must. I don't know.
He did a bracket. So.
Yeah.
But
Something where like the good Black Christmas got eliminated on one side of the bracket and
or he didn't put it. The only movie that was in the bracket was Black Xmas. It was just Black Xmas versus Black Christmas 2019
versus Jeremy Melton. Although Greg, Jeremy Melton might have won. That's crazy.
I don't know how you arrive at that conclusion at all. That movie sucks. And Malignant is not a better movie than anything.
How do you feel about that, Pat?
I mean, Malignant might be better than Skinamarink.
Might be. I personally did not think Malignant was better than Skinamarink, so yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that I liked less than Malignant, and I'm having a tough time coming up with it. Definitely not better than X.
No. I just rewatched X yesterday, actually. No. Not better than it at all.
I was actually going to say Malignant was better than Black Xmas, but I don't know if I believe that either, to be fair.
That's tough. Those two could fight forever to a draw where no one wins.
Those are the kind of brackets we should be doing. Just like...
But damn. Yeah, X was without a doubt the best horror movie of last year.
Yeah.
What about his challenge?
Even though our listeners voted for Five Cream.
What was the challenge?
I think him and Amber, I think, challenged you and Rob to a horror trivia.
Oh, you guys win.
I don't know, man. Rob knows his shit, dude. Besides, and I'm aware Greg and Amber do as well. I'm aware. Greg knows a little too much.
I think Kat says that just because she doesn't want to be on my team for some reason.
What? No, I would want to be on your team. You'd have to carry me.
You're a good team.
I don't do well under pressure, and I am not good at knowing like years or directors or any kind of outside stuff. So unless it's like a very specific kind of, unless it's like the X movie trivia game, I'm not going to do well.
All right. Well, I don't know what we're talking about. You know what, Greg? Any place, anytime, anywhere, buddy.
Holy shit.
Well.
All right. You know, that would be fun watching Rob and Greg do that horror movie trivia thing that I got. That would be fun.
Yeah, that I'd be into.
You would be down for that, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, challenge me. All right. Yeah. Be confident, too.
I mean, it feels like a pretty low stakes game. So, yeah, fine.
We should put stakes on it. That would be fun somehow.
The winner gets to choose a movie.
Holy shit.
I don't know. Mikey loses.
X or Malignant.
No, I'm talking just you two, man. You two. Because, like, Greg knows a lot of shit. He has terrible opinions on it.
I know. Greg knows his stuff. I'm not saying he doesn't. But what I'm saying is if the stakes are the winner gets to choose a movie, then that means either way you're going to lose. So I'm okay with that.
That's fucked up. How about this, Kat? You really want to see that? That's fair, because he they'd be happy either way, because I'd have to be punished. What if I pick a movie for the loser?
No, I don't agree with this.
Why not, Rob? I mean, you afraid for the challenge all of a sudden? I feel like Greg would take that challenge.
He might.
All right. Would you, though? Here's the question.
I'll take it. I'll do it.
All right.
Now, how come it's just me and Greg all of a sudden? There was Amber and Kat were involved, too.
Here's the thing. I'll go in. I'm going to lose. I'm a liability to your team. So I don't mind going in. I'm not afraid of the punishment movie is the thing.
Kat has the least to lose.
Yeah, Amber, I have nothing to lose.
It's really just you and Greg I want to fuck over, so yeah, I wouldn't hurt them.
Well, anywhere, anytime, any place.
Although, if given opportunity, if I can come up with a movie that would give it a cat a little bit too, don't get me wrong, I will do it. So it'd be some research on my end as well. That would be interesting, guys. Holy shit.
Well, that's what Kat does.
Yeah.
Kat lays low, picks and chooses her spots.
She does. She's sneaky. Kat's very sneaky. And by the way, too, no, Greg, stop doing it entirely, please.
I actually don't mind that.
It drives me fucking crazy because he does.
I think that's why I don't mind it.
It's so intentional. You know what I mean? Like he just he leans into it and it's just I hate it. Stop it, Greg. All right. That was Greg's hot take corner. Hope everybody enjoyed.
That's a downer of a way to start an episode. All right.
It's always interesting to hear what he has to say. We never like it, but
no. We got through the first two, and I was like, I might get through here unscathed, and then just...
Oh, we always think that.
Yeah.
No, the Jeepers Creepers one pissed me off right out of the rip, and I know how people feel about it, but, you know, everything else aside, that first one's really good, and I think that second one... That Reborn one sucked. Don't get me... It was... Almost nothing's as bad as three.
Well, nothing. I mean, fucking three's awful.
3 is fucking terrible. Get the hose for 3. But yeah, no, Greg is crazy. Go check him out at Darth Gregor on TikTok. Me and Rob are actually in his live tonight. He does a live every week. He's in the middle of a tournament now, much like ours. So that was fun. What was he doing, Rob? The musicals.
Yeah, kind of like this. It's horror movie musicals.
Yeah.
What's winning? What won?
He just unveiled it tonight. He doesn't do the tournaments on the live.
He went through Amber's, though. Amber
unveils
it.
And then Amber. Yeah. And then he has Amber pick like her winners. And then he'll do
one for her. Was it?
I think it was Sweeney Todd, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. So. Upset Little Shop of Horrors went out the way it did, Amber. Not going to lie.
He also, Kat, he had the wall on there. So,
yeah, I've seen a lot of people list that as like a psychological horror movie, which I think is hysterical. But also, I get it.
I was just thinking, oh, God, now Kat has a case for the wall to be on the show.
Man, if I could get the wall of the show, I'd be so happy.
I just want to make Mikey watch The Wall.
I don't know what that means, but I don't like it. I don't like it. All right, we got light news week. You guys want to get it out of the way so we can get to Murder Madness?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's time to hump the news with Rob Humphrey.
He's not a genius.
What the feck are we waiting on?
It's not going to get over. Stop. Okay, you guys see my screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Creepy Duck. He's been hitting the news every now and then. If you guys do have Twitter, anybody listening, go give him a follow. I don't remember his handle off the top of my head. It might just be Creepy Duck. Give him a search. He makes movie posters. I believe he did the one for Terrifier 2. He's done a lot of shit. His work is crazy. He did a Nightmare on Elm Street poster.
Okay.
Tell me that thing doesn't look crazy.
It looks cool, but I mean, as far as I know, there's no movie to go along with the poster, so it feels kind of pointless.
Yeah, looks great though.
He's got Mike Flanagan making.
I was just gonna ask. Why is Mike Flanagan involved in this?
No.
Yeah, I mean it's a cool looking poster. Honestly, if you could take out the Mike Flanagan shit off of it and you could just sell that poster, people would probably buy it because it's a cool Freddy poster, but. I mean, again, there's no movie attached as far as I know, so...
Yeah, I'd buy the shit out of that.
No.
Honestly. Yeah, I just figured it was worth a mention. Like I said, Light News Week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not super familiar with Mr. Duck, so...
Well, follow him on Twitter.
He does do some really cool art.
Yeah. Why are you not following him yet?
I don't know. Why do I gotta follow everybody?
You follow me. I'm grateful for that.
For now.
Cocaine Shark.
This trailer looks incredible.
It looks amazing.
I have nothing to add. Go ahead. I'm letting you guys do.
Did you watch the trailer, Mikey?
I watched the trailer, and then someone sent it on Twitter. I believe it was Jinx. Thanks a lot, Jinx.
You're my boy, Jinx.
I didn't. Oh no, you sent it too, Rob. You also did it. And I opened it, seen it was the press play because I didn't know what it was, seen it was that trailer and closed it immediately. I don't know how the fuck you guys like this crap. This is absolutely ridiculous. Unless absolutely forced to, I will never watch this fucking movie.
Look at the still right there in front of your face and tell me you don't want to see that.
Everybody listening, go to Bloody Disgusting. If you aren't searching, get somewhere else. I'm looking at it. It looks fucking stupid.
All right. You don't like anything fun. When's this come out, does it say?
It's not about liking anything fun. It's about, like, this is bad. It's bad. I don't see
there's no release date yet.
All right.
It's coming from Wild Eye Releasing.
I hate them. I hate them so much. Yeah, this thing, it looks stupid. I mean, whatever. You guys done talking about it, or you want to keep going?
It's going to be amazing.
I have no notes, is the thing. It looks perfect.
It has a mafia tie-in.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun for me.
Yeah, I think you'd be into that.
No, I won't be into that.
He's got all sorts. Look at that thing, whatever that is.
Fuck is that? We're looking at the trailer right now for everybody listening. What the fuck is that?
I don't know, but I can't wait to find out.
It's a rat bat.
Looks awesome. So I'm looking forward. There's so much great stuff coming out. I mean, Attack of the Meth Gator versus Crocodile, and now Cocaine Shark. I mean, this is really the gift that just keeps on giving. Thank you, Cocaine Bear.
See, and that Jinx brought it up on Twitter. This, like he said, this has been my fear all along. And I said it from the beginning that since this got greenlit and people see it successful, there's going to be a million of these that come out from it, and the Meth Gator and all that shit. And then Meth Gator verse something was fucking mentioned.
Crocodile.
Jesus Christ.
Which is genius. That one I didn't even think of. Because I thought of like animals on meth, but I never thought of Crocodile.
It's nice incorporating it into the thing.
No.
It punnery. It's good.
Jesus Christ, man. When does it all end?
Hopefully no.
And it's a shame because we just got off of a couple years ago. In the last few years, we had a fucking Pinhead thing, Chucky thing, Scream, Halloween, and all this shit was going down. We're getting all this serious stuff that's X came out and all this stuff. And now the golden age of horror that you've deemed it, Rob, has turned into Meth Gator and Cocaine Shark.
Just keeps getting better.
That doesn't bother you at all?
No, I think it's great. And, you know, that stuff is still going to come out. You know, just because they're making Crocodile doesn't mean they're not going to make another Scream movie. The company that's making Meth Gator versus Crocodile was never involved in a Scream film.
No, but
that would have made it less boring.
The bigger titles have kind of died down now, and these are the big titles: Cocaine Bear and Meth Gator. These are the big titles that we have to look forward to now.
I mean, I do kind of wish somebody
like
would come out with
ghost
crack
face
ghost
you've
face.
Never seen before. He was just on meth. Oh my god. Is it too late to pitch this to Radio Silence? Do we get a do-over?
I'm not commenting on that. I have nothing to say to that. I don't like that at all. It's not funny, and it was kind of mean, Kat, actually.
It would be amazing. Look at Meth Ghostface.
We didn't mention it. Scream 6 came out, by the way. We'll get to that shortly, I guess. You can go to Patreon, and we just had a whole bitch fest on that was released earlier this week as you're listening to this, so... Yeah. Go to Patreon, check it out. But before we talk Scream, actually, we just go to Scream. It's fucking stupid. Scream remains on track to break an opening weekend record for the franchise. This thing is, wow, 5.7 million on Thursday night.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Could break the record for the franchise. The current record holder is Scream 2 made 32 million. No, Scream 3. Wow, 34 million in its opening weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it does. I mean, I expect the opening weekend to be great for it. Well, I don't know. The reviews are great for this movie. Everybody's praising it, so I expect it to do really well.
Yeah, people are going to see it regardless. And, you know, I've said it all the time. A lot of times movies are, you know, their box office numbers are based on the previous movie, and the previous one was great. The one that came out last year. So, you know, good for it. We gave our opinions on Patreon, so head over there and listen. We're not... If we get into it now,
we'll be in some trouble if we get into this again.
Yeah. Anything else to add on that, guys? Or not much to say, right?
No.
No, I mean, it's not really surprising, right? That it's going to do great in the box office. I mean, I don't think anybody's really shocked by that.
No. Jenna Ortega, the last thing I had to mention. Beetlejuice 2. She is in talks to play Lydia's daughter. That is fucking incredible.
Okay. Jenna Ortega is the horror it girl of the moment, so makes sense. And honestly, seems like perfect casting. I mean, she seems fit for that role, so why not? I haven't watched Wednesday yet, though, but I hear she's good in that, too.
Yeah. I want to watch Wednesday. That's awesome. I mean, she's great.
Yeah, she's really good. She's excellent in Studio 666.
She fits the part perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing Wednesday, just, you know, looking at her and the role of Wednesday Addams, she looks just like Wednesday Addams.
Michael Keaton's back for this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If they don't get Michael Keaton, then what the fuck are we even doing?
Yeah. Yeah, no. And that's all I have for news.
All right.
Time for Gabagoolie Mystery Corner, I guess.
It's time for Gabagoolie Mystery Corner.
Well, we missed this last week.
Yeah, I didn't have this last week, so.
We're back.
Mikey didn't get it. We didn't get the chance to celebrate Mikey last week.
Yeah. I got to hit my button. Hold on. I love this button.
Crazy idiot! Get the fuck out of here!
Fuck you!
Go ahead. Go back to turning tricks and old folk and you'll fade in the ass!
Gabagoolie Mystery Corner, where our listeners, who are amazing people, anonymously submit memes, making fun of me for being Italian.
Well, not really. If you see this week's, it more is just celebrating you than so much your Italian heritage, I think.
Right.
But it's a winner.
All right. I'm going to open it and see. These go up on Patreon.
Totally anonymous.
We describe
totally
them.
Totally anonymous.
On the show, you can see them on Patreon. What the fuck? Oh, my God. When people come after the Leprechaun movies and you're ready to go to war, it's a fucking possum in a garbage can, like looking like he's about to attack somebody because they're evil, nasty creatures, and he's saying, don't touch my garbage. The Leprechaun movies are not fucking garbage. All right? I know there's a couple.
Here's the guy who's, I don't want to watch Crocodile. Just let me watch Leprechaun in the Hood.
Leprechaun in the Hood 2. Leprechaun in the Hood 1 was not very good. But yeah, because at least it's good. It looks good.
It's not Leprechaun in the Hood 2. It's Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Well, okay, yeah. Fair enough. Either way, I can't stand this possum thing. Whoever submitted this.
Yeah, I don't know who that could be.
I didn't even think. Okay.
Completely anonymous.
First of all, Allie, you can kiss my ass. We thanked you for being on last week. You're a butthole. This possum thing's because of her, and I'm done with it and over with, and it won't go away because everybody's not going to let it go. I don't think she's the one that did it, because as much as I hate to admit it, she's created some gold as far as what you bastards enjoy making fun of me. She tends to just show me on her own.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, but whoever submitted this, I doubt it's her, but it could. If it is Allie, you can kiss my ass, and if it's not, whoever submitted this can kiss my ass. I'm not a possum, and possums are disgusting. I have nothing else to say on the matter. But now that means it's time.
Well, I hope you feel celebrated, Mikey.
I don't. Now it is time for Huckleberry Humphrey's Hillbilly Hoedown.
Okay.
Yeah, where we celebrate Rob's move down south, becoming a redneck, anonymously submitted memes, and there it is.
All right. Honestly, I think I've seen this thing rolling down the street. All right, so it is, again, trying to describe redneck shit is not easy. So it's like a flatbed truck with a bunch of shit on the back, like on the bed. I don't even know what all that is. And then what is this thing in the middle here? What would you call that? What the fuck is that?
Are those mattresses? No, those aren't mattresses. They're zoomed in. I don't know.
It's not anything. It's just the bottom of the camper.
And oh, yeah, zoom yeah, in
to
yeah.
see it. So yeah. So there's a bunch of shit there on the like the flatbed. And then above that, so going over like the cab of the truck and then balanced on is there a top on the thing?
I don't know.
Anyway, balanced on top. So it's like covering the cab of the truck and then like some of the shit in the back is a camper. And then there's a so that's the first half, and then the bottom half is Cousin Eddie from the National Lampoon's Vacation films, and he's saying that there, Clark, is an RV. So that's it. And yeah, that picture, you know, doesn't look all that foreign to me anymore. Some of the shit I've seen around here.
That's a good one.
But to be fair, it doesn't look all that foreign to some shit that I saw when I lived in Indiana. It's not as if I was living in the, you know, the height of metropolitan living when I was in Indiana.
That's fair. All right. Well, do you feel celebrated?
More or less. I mean, I don't identify as a redneck, and you are Italian and a possum, so...
I'm not a possum. Yeah, that's another thing. It's not even fucking Italian. It doesn't even count. You gotta filter these, Kat.
This one was submitted as a very special Gabagooly Mystery Corner.
Yeah, they're all real special. If you're gonna do it, guys, at least stick to the topic, man. Now you're just doing it for nothing. It's just a me thing at this point. Like, geez.
I do feel like maybe you're right that wasn't Allie, because I think Allie would have been smart enough to get the possum blue hair.
I don't have blue hair. I've never had blue hair.
You had blue hair in that picture you sent.
I did not have blue hair. It looked like I had blue hair. It looked like my hair was tinted blue due to the picture.
Why can't you just admit that you have blue hair? It's fine. Nobody cares.
If I had blue hair, I'd admit I have blue hair. There's nothing wrong with having blue hair. Blue hair would be kind of cool. I just don't have blue hair. It'd be a lot better than this brown with the gray in it. It's fucking, at least it'd all be one color. Anyway, stop making fun of me and my hair. We're done with the news. We're done with all the gobble-gooly crap. And we are about to take a quick break. And we'll be right back with the start of Murder Madness.
For the Lord Humphrey Cup.
It's not. You didn't stop.
It's the feckin' Vernal Lord Humphrey Cup.
I don't know what any of it means. This is making shit up at this point. God. All right, this is, I think it's official to now say this is the 2023 Lord Humphrey Cup. This is the third time around we've done this, guys.
It is. It's exciting.
So as we stated earlier, originals on left side of the bracket and the remakes on the right side of the bracket. Images will be going up on Twitter. So if you're not following us at @Slasher Radio, make sure you do it there, us individually. You can find it all on those.
I mean, you'll post it, and then I might retweet it, or I might not. It just depends on if I see it or not, or whatever.
Go to @Slasher Radio on Twitter. Make sure you got that one in there. Here we go. It's all random. The first round.
It is.
Yeah, completely fair.
Unfortunately.
What?
Unfortunately. It gets us into trouble. Even in the test thing, we got into trouble with this one, because I don't want to fight about Evil Dead versus Black Christmas. But yeah, it is an interesting twist on the bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad we do it this way, but it... Double-edged sword.
Let's just call it what it is. If we didn't do it this way, we'd actually have to sit down and seed this thing out, and who the fuck wants to do that?
How do you do that? Yeah, and plus, like we always say, it adds that unpredictability. Like, anybody's in danger at any point. You know, it could be a matchup thing.
Just like in Scream 6. Anybody's in danger at any point.
No, if we did that, guys, no one would ever get eliminated.
Well, they'll get eliminated. They'll just get brought back.
Yeah, round two, they all show back up. Like, wait a minute.
We just kidding, guys. God damn it.
All right. Are we ready for the first matchup?
Yes. Ooh.
House Ooh. Of Wax, 1953.
I haven't seen this one in a long time, so I'll be interested to see what you guys think of it. Now, that is Vincent Price, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This one makes me nervous because I think I'm the only person that really likes Vincent Price on this podcast.
That's not true. I love Vincent Price.
I feel
about?
Like I'm always having to go to bat for Vincent Price.
I have never once attacked Vincent feckin' Price.
He's not Vincent. Stop with the feck.
House on Haunted Hill.
Well, I attacked the remake. We didn't talk about the original, did we?
No, I feel like it's come up, though.
It has come up, but I don't know. That's an argument for now. We will get House on Haunted Hill, both of them, at some point throughout. But all right, House of Wax, 1953.
If it goes up against House on Haunted Hill, I retract my complaint.
That'd be hysterical. and probably how it'll go knowing this. But this thing hates us, guys, this fucking thing.
It does hate us.
It does. All right.
I hope going it doesn't up. Go that way. I don't know which way I'd go.
I don't know. It'd be tough. Fuck. We're going up again.
Back.
Damn it. Ooh.
Ooh.
Suspiria from 1977.
All right. So we got Suspiria, 1977, against House of Wax, 1953. Initial thoughts, everyone.
I don't want to talk about this one. I know my answer, and it makes me sad. So I.
Okay. Mikey, do you have any initial thoughts?
I know we were just talking good about Vincent Price. I mean, I think Suspiria is better. And it's not fair because it's a movie from the 50s. And although what they did great things in that film. I get it. But, you know, sitting and watching it and really saying which is better and more enjoyable and what I think, because this is what that's what this is all about. The better movie moves on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Suspiria. All right. 3-1 voting here.
Suspiria, the visuals, the score, I think are enough to carry it past House of Wax from 1953. I got to go with Suspiria also.
Miss Valor.
I don't have awkward. To vote, right?
You have to vote, but...
but it's the matchup, you see?
I know this one hurts. I really like Vincent Price. And if I'm being honest, just from like a storytelling perspective, I honestly think House of Wax is the better tale.
It's fair.
Suspiria is like one of my all time favorite movies. It's gotta be Suspiria.
That's what the thing about Suspiria is. It's not really like the story.
It's not a good story. It's
and
everything
the script
else.
Even aren't all that great, but
no.
Everything else is so perfect.
Yeah,
it's just that's going to be a tough out.
I do think it's a really close. I think it's closer than what the unanimous vote makes it seem like, though, because House of Wax, especially when you put it into its time and place in the 50s, phenomenal, groundbreaking movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, bad matchup for House of Wax, man. There it goes. The spirit moves on.
Hopefully House of Haunted Hill goes up against all these joke ones. I love Vincent Price.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I swear to God, it's random.
Fucking damn it.
House on Haunted Hill, 1959. What the fuck? This thing hates us. It's evil.
Come on.
By the way, we forgot to mention everybody.
There are some on here it can take.
There are.
Jeremy Melton's on this list.
Jeremy Melton will always be in every iteration of Murder Madness.
House on Haunted Hill can take the fuck out of Jeremy Melton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Stick with us for the suspense of disbelief here. You understand the shtick. Everybody understands now Jeremy Melton's always in. He's a pants-peeing little crybaby with a bloody nose. Yes, I'm talking to you, Greg. And he will be in every bracket we do. Period.
Yes, yeah. Jeremy Melton being in Murder Madness is a bit, and we are committed to the bit.
Yes, yes. But we also have to let that means, you know, what's the going to be on the remake side? Black Christmas 2019, another bit. appropriate. Anyway, House on Haunted Hill. This is funny.
I'm anxious.
Going up against this is gonna, God damn, this thing could really screw you like that, Kat. No way.
It could.
Oh.
Oh my god, I quit. This is why I fucking hate the brackets. I'm done.
So we've got House on Haunted Hill from what year is it?
1959. Yeah.
Against Evil Dead, 1981.
What if I came out and was just like House on Haunted Hill for life?
You'd lose 2-1. But I would respect you for it, Kat. This is the thing. Oh, fuck. That's crazy, man.
I mean, that you can do that if you want, Kat. But just know that for all of eternity, I will remember the time that you picked House on Haunted Hill over Evil Dead.
Yeah, I can't even say it with sincere. It's like Suspiria. Like, Evil Dead. You can't not pick Evil Dead.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I will. It's Evil Dead all day.
It is Evil Dead. And I... The unfortunate recent events since Kat's stand for Vincent Price, which I agree with. I don't want it to go unnoticed. She's right, but we're not talking about just what Vincent Price did, because that'd be a different story.
Right.
We're talking about the movie here.
Right. We all love Vincent Freckin' Price.
Stop calling him Vincent Freckin' Price. Evil Dead. That's fucking crazy. This wheel is evil, man. Every year it does something.
Every year.
Pick Cat. All right. Next matchup.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh.
Melton.
One round too late, buddy.
Yeah. So
Jeremy Melton.
We'll be taking on.
Crybaby.
Basically, what gets a bye?
Yeah, what's getting past?
Watch it, one that doesn't need it. Oh, fucking speaking of. You know what? This is good. My Bloody Valentine, 1981. This could take out something important. I'm glad mm-hmm. this happened.
Yep, My Bloody Valentine, 1981 moves on around. I assume, right? Do we need to vote?
I'm voting for Jeremy Melton. No.
No, as everybody knows, Jeremy Melton's a pants peeing little bloody nose having crybaby, and right. My Bloody Valentine is an incredible movie.
The most Canadian of all Canadian movies, My Bloody Valentine.
You know what? The button. Oh, fuck, I missed.
He's called News.
That's what you get. This is my dark horse here. I'm going to let you guys know now. I'm going to lean. So
right.
Adjust. At least I'm honest about it.
Tell me to adjust. You adjust.
I guess.
Here. Tell me to adjust.
He's called Ooze.
Next matchup. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, okay. Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984.
That's a big one right here, man.
Wes Craven classic. Introduction to the Kitty Diddler.
Stop. Don't ruin it. Come on now. This is a big deal. This could be a very difficult situation we're walking into right here.
It could be.
Could be.
There are a lot of classics on this wheel.
Dude, they're judged differently, a lot of these, man. They were all originals. Matchup going against Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, shit.
Carrie, 1976.
Oh. All right.
I feel like this one, like, it hurts, but I feel like it's pretty straightforward.
I don't like it, though.
And it's also not the matchup that's hurt me most this round, so.
All right, well, who you got, Kat?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
You're going Nightmare also?
Yeah, man, I love Carrie, and this is unfortunate, but bad matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go Nightmare also. We'll make it a clean sweep. It's tough, though. Carrie's a really good movie.
This could have taken out some shit, man, Carrie.
It's got John Travolta in it.
Oh, my God. Damn, that sucks. Carrie's out first round. What the hell?
Back in wheel.
Next matchup. Stop doing that. Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, big hitter, Black Christmas, 1974.
Big boys back to back, three of them. Yeah, Carrie was in there too. Let's see what's going up against. Oh.
Oh, well. All right. That was anticlimactic.
Yeah, killed the suspense on that.
Oh, wait, this should have been Ju-on. Okay. Either way, it didn't change.
I mean, it's still going to be a clean sweep, but it's going to be a slightly more regretful clean sweep.
Well, I don't. I've never seen Grudge You. But I feel confident in saying it's not as good as Black Christmas 1974.
I haven't seen it yet either, and I don't give a fuck what they did in that movie. Judging on the remakes that I've seen, it doesn't mean a fucking thing.
Black Christmas 1974, the best Christmas horror movie of all time.
Yeah, and Kat, you've seen Ju-on, and you've stood up for it a lot on the show. And do you think, what chance did you think it had? Maybe not for winning, but just for success. And it could have taken out some shit.
I think it could have, like, on a better matchup if it weren't going up against fucking Black Christmas. I think it could have passed this round easily enough. It would be mid-tier for me.
Just Jeremy Melton?
Yeah, it could have been Jeremy Melton for sure.
It could have been Jeremy Melton.
But, I mean, it's hard. Like, you got to pick, are you going to pick Billy or Cat Ghost, you know?
All right. Yeah, that was easy. That was easier than Kat probably would have liked it.
Yeah, well, I'd be more upset about The Ring, I think, having... I'm sure it's going to here in a second, because I mentioned it out loud and the wheel hates me.
Fair.
but I would be more upset about The Ring getting, like, an odd.
Funny Games, 1997. The one movie in here that I thought Jeremy Melton could beat.
We've had... Wow. Every matchup has been a clean sweep.
Rob's committed to the bit unless it comes down to Funny Games, is what we've learned.
Let's see. Funny Games goes up against. This could be the first argument we're having. Maybe.
I hope this... It would be so funny. So I've won anyway, because Rob's going to have to vote for one of these two movies, which is great.
So, what is it? Ringu, right?
Ringu, 1998.
All right. I've never seen Ringu. I have seen Funny Games. I don't know what the fuck to do here. I told you I watched that movie today. I'm going to say it all night.
I'll come out on the... I think I'm the only one that's seen both of these.
I've seen Ringu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
well, you saw Funny Games, too, because we had to watch it for the fucking show.
Well, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. But I don't watch a lot of Japanese horror. I watched Ringu last year.
All right.
Let
me ask you this, Kat. How similar is Ringu to The Ring?
They have different strengths and weaknesses, but, like, storyline, pretty similar.
Okay.
I will say, I think the visuals were a little bit stronger in... We had better special effects in The Ring, but, like, the eeriness was stronger in Ringu.
Did you just pull the movie up, Mikey, as if I'm going to watch a whole movie?
Yeah, we just pausing real quick.
First of all, I pulled up the trailer, and I figured you were professional enough to just watch it and not talk about it, and I'd give you some insight on the goddamn thing. Instead, I'm here getting bitched at for it, but continue.
Well, no, I can't. I'm watching the trailer.
Right. So, here's the thing. I really like The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Ringu, yeah. I know, I like Ringu. I like the whole thing. This was based off of one of my favorite horror novels, and it kind of fucked some stuff up. So I think out of bitterness, I'm going to give my vote to Funny Games.
Okay. Mikey, okay. What are you doing?
I think The Ring movie, the American Ring, it gets a little more hate than it should. I love the concept of it. I think a lot of things in it were done well, although not a perfect movie. I'm not going to sit here and fight for it. But, you know, that all came from Ringu, and Ringu itself, although, you know, it didn't have anywhere near the budget the Ring had and all that, I liked it, man. And you know, it kind of sucks to see it go out like this. I might have fought for this one a little bit, given the right matchup, but I got it. Funny Games was so good. I got to go with Funny Games.
Okay. And Kat, Mikey babbled on so long, I forgot what you voted for. What was it?
I also voted for Funny Games.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter what I vote for. I haven't seen Ringu. I would not feel comfortable voting for Ringu, so I will vote for Funny Feckin' Games also.
Wow.
Even though it is the most boring movie I've ever seen.
Oh. Wow.
Skinamarink. Standing by that?
That's true. Goddamn. Skinamarink has fucked up a lot of stuff for me.
We should have put Skinamarink on the other side of the for the Jeremy Mountain.
We should have put Funny Games on like immediately after Skinamarink. You would have thought it was much better.
That's true.
Ooh.
Next matchup. Let the right this one is, in.
This is like a sneaky one, I feel like, because it's not one of the class. Like, we have a lot of classics on here that I think are going to be heavy hitters, but this one critically is just phenomenal.
So good.
All right, let's see what's going up against. Could be a sleeper.
It could be.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, God damn it.
Maybe not.
Sleeping outside. I can tell you that.
I don't even know what to.
I don't know what to do here.
This broke my brain.
To be honest with you, these are two of my favorite movies.
You know what to do here, Rob. It's going up against Psycho 1960.
This is tough.
No,
because
not.
I love Let the Right One In so much. But Psycho's so fucking good.
It doesn't matter, man. I'm biased it's, here.
Psycho's so good, I said fucking instead of feckin'. I ruined a bit for it.
It's not that good, and you know it.
What are you taking Psycho, Mikey?
Absolutely.
What are you doing, Kat?
I don't know.
I don't either, because they're so fucking, both of them are good.
If we're talking influence, so it. It depends. There are so many angles you could approach this from because they're both such influential films. I feel like Psycho did more for its genre, but has it held up as well in its genre? Of course, it's held up a lot longer, obviously, but Let the Right One In is still to this day one of my favorite vampire movies, you know? Psycho is not a slasher that I rewatch as often.
I would say that Let the Right One In is my favorite vampire movie.
I think it's my second favorite vampire movie.
What's your first? The Lost Boys?
no, it's Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
That's a really good one, too.
Oh, I've seen that. I didn't understand any of it. I've seen it, though. I've seen the whole thing.
But Psycho. It's back in Psycho, man. I mean, it's so good, and it's Hitchcock, and
what
I don't know.
Doing?
Like, it's hard to say Psycho doesn't hold up. I mean, I watched it maybe a year ago, and it's still just fucking great.
It held up way better than it should have. A movie from its time should have, rather. I mean, come on, what are we doing here, guys? We know what we're doing.
I'm reserving my vote because I feel like if Rob votes for Psycho, I want to keep the clean sweep streak alive. I'm really on the fence about this one, though. I'm kind of leaning Let the Right One In.
That's what you guys want to do.
I don't love that that's the way that I'm leaning, but this
is
a hard one for me.
I don't love that this is the choice.
Like, I enjoy Let the Right One In more is the thing. It is what it comes down to. Because Psycho, it did so much for the horror genre, but do I like the impact or do I like the film? And it's like, obviously I like both of them, but all of the defenses that I have are for its impact, you know? Whereas like Let the Right One In.
I have to go Psycho. I have to. I love Let the Right One In. It is, as I said, my favorite vampire movie, but Psycho is just, I mean, everything about it. And it's not just the impact. It obviously the impact of the movie is huge, but the performances are so brilliant in the movie. It looks gorgeous. It's fucking Hitchcock, so of course it does. The score, Bernard Herrmann's score is just brilliant. I gotta pick Psycho. But I hate Murder Madness. Can we not do it now?
We say this every year and then do it again. I don't know. It was easy for me.
Yeah, but you don't like good things.
Yes, I do. We had the same fucking pick. Psycho wins.
Yeah, but it was too easy for you.
It was a little too easy for you.
Because look, I mean, I like Let the Right One In too. I thought it was a really fucked up movie, but it's Psycho. Like, I understand the impact thing, sure, but I can sit, not that I do it often, but when I do, man, I sit there and say, man, this thing is like, wow, everything about it.
Psycho is just, it's one of those movies that I'm so grateful for it that it's hard for me to see past the impact to the actual film, you know? Like,
I also, for me too, and it doesn't help that Let the Right One In is Swedish. It is Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I will say this, as much as I love the movie, I'm not always in the mood to watch a foreign language film. I'm never not in the mood to watch Psycho. If someone said, you know, hey, let's watch Psycho. Okay, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, whatever. I'll watch Psycho.
All right.
Pat, where's your official vote going?
Correct. So, Rob talking about the score, it does have one of the best scores of all time. I think I might be back on Team Psycho. I'm right on that fence, though. It's hard.
It's so hard.
I am more likely to be in a mood to watch Let the Right One In than Psycho, but critically, Psycho might be the better movie. And if you put it into its time, it's hard not to give it that edge. I think we have another clean sweep here.
Damn.
All right. I kind of hate that Let the Right One In got clean sweeped out.
But it's regretful. Like, I don't like it. I don't feel good about this.
There are so many other movies that Let the Right One In could have taken out of this fucking thing.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Next matchup.
Back and wheel.
That's going to be... this is one that's going to keep me up tonight.
Ooh. Oh. Wes Craven. The Hills Have Eyes, 1977.
Okay.
Is going up against... ooh.
Jesus Christ. Why couldn't fucking Let the Right One In had either one of these movies?
The Fly, 1958. You know, I don't know what to do here, honestly.
I don't care for either one of these movies, to be honest with you. I wanted them in this bracket or in this tournament for their remakes, which I think are both really good.
That's kind of where not exactly where I'm at, because I do actually like both of these movies, but I do feel more passionately one way or the other about the remakes. So I think I'm going to give it to The Hills Have Eyes. My reasoning for this is because even though I do really like The Fly, I like the body horror element. I like the core of the story of The Hills Have Eyes. Like, this was before a lot of that trope was done much. I think the social commentary was on point. It's got that gritty 70 feel that I like so much. I think that's the way I'm going with it.
I think I'm going Hills Have Eyes also.
All right. Well, you know
but
what?
But it's man? Close.
It's close for me, but also close for me in the sense that I don't really care for either one of them.
I'm going to break the sweep, even though it doesn't matter, and I'm going to go for The Fly, man. And I know that's all right. Off-brand for me to go against Wes Craven, but The Hills Have Eyes wasn't it. And I can appreciate certain things, like Michael Berryman's great and all that stuff, but I like The Fly. Like, I'm not going to ever sit and say, hey, let me watch the original Fly movie or nothing. But, you know, what they did was really cool. And in its time, it was a fucking big deal. And, yeah, give one to The Fly.
All right.
Streak officially done. Next matchup. When a Stranger Calls, 1972. This is a tricky one. This one's very tricky. Going up against Pet Sematary, 1989.
So I don't even like that Pet Sematary that much. like in terms of King's work, it, like in that whole circle, Pet Sematary is pretty close at the bottom of King movies that I'll watch. But
it's
I
no
think
Maximum
it's
Overdrive.
I think it's more consistent than When a Stranger Calls. Like past that one scene, I'm not really going to enjoy watching When a Stranger Calls. I probably won't finish the movie, and you know I'm making it to the end of Pet Sematary, so that it's going to get my vote.
That's exactly how I feel. That that one scene is one of the greatest things ever done in horror, but yeah, that movie kind of sucked. So
yeah.
And yeah, I'm not crazy about Pet Sematary either. Rob?
Feel much the same way as you guys. I think both of these movies are overrated. I think When a Stranger Calls is mostly remembered for that one scene, but the rest of the movie's not good. Pet Sematary, I don't think it's held up very well. I don't think it's not a very good movie, to be honest with you. But it is better than When a Stranger Calls, so I will go with it as well.
Damn.
And again, wonder why it couldn't face off against Let the Right One In.
I wish.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
That really is. I think the further we get away from it, the more I think I did the right thing with Psycho, but it still hurts.
Fair. Fair.
This wheel.
This fucking wheel. See the next matchup.
I don't know why you can't just say feckin', Mikey.
I'm not going to say that. No.
Just once. For the show.
No. Dawn of the Dead, 1978.
All right.
Going up against Ooh.
Ooh.
A Blob, 1958.
See, I feel like the 50s have gotten kind of shafted in this
really
already.
Have.
Because I really like The Blob. I like all of these 1950s movies, and they're just not doing well. I've got to vote for Night of the Living Dead. Like,
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Or Night of the Living Dead. Dawn of the Dead, even, is the one
right,
that
sure.
we're talking about.
Yeah. But I'd vote for Night of the Living Dead also.
I would also go for Night of the Living Dead.
The Steve McQueen Blob, I really enjoy this movie. And honestly, I thought of any of the 50s movies, it had the best chance to make a bit of a run here. Unfortunately, it's not beating Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Like, it's one of the best, maybe the best zombie movie ever. Yeah, there's no way I can pick against Romero here.
I agree.
And this sucks because I was prepared. We were talking about it coming in. I was prepared to go to bat for House of Wax. The Blob was another one I was ready to fight for, and I didn't. But, like, how?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The Blob was innovative, man. I like the Blob movie, but.
Yeah, it's a really good movie, too. Like, if you haven't seen the original The Blob, check it out. I mean, Steve McQueen's in it, but the performances are great. It's a really good movie.
And it begins, The Fog, 1980. Rob, boy Tom Atkins in it.
I know he is.
All right, let's see
Jamie
who's
Lee
going.
Curtis.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
God damn it, Rob.
I'm just going to sit back. It's Martyrs 2008.
All right, well. I mean, clearly Tom Atkins could bang both the girls in Martyrs. So
we already established Tom Atkins was not allowed to bang for the entirety of The Blob, The Fog, or The Blob, I guess.
Clearly, I'm going for The Fog.
Yeah, I mean, so. It's obvious that I've lost this one, but I've got to go down swinging for something. I think out of everything on this bracket, I believe. In Martyrs on this side. This is one of my top, I was going to say 10. This is one of my top 5 favorite movies of all time. It is very poignant. It had a deep impact on me. It was in the early wave of the horror extremism movement in France. The story is so beautifully told. The special effects were amazing. The visuals were haunting. It's a revenge story like no other, and I feel strongly like it should move forward.
Okay. The Fog is one of the best ghost stories ever. It stars Tom Atkins, who could bang everybody in Martyrs if he wanted.
God damn it.
It has an amazing score. It's directed by John Carpenter. Adrian Barbeau gives a tremendous performance as sort of an iconic character, Stevie Wayne, the disc jockey who broadcasts from her radio station, weirdly located in a lighthouse. I don't quite understand that, but it's cool. I love The Fog. It's one of my favorites. And The Fog is Slasher Radio approved.
Okay.
Martyrs hasn't had a chance to be Slasher Radio approved. I know it wouldn't be because you hate this one.
Oh, boy. I found it funny at first because everybody knows Rob's thing with Atkins and Cat Loves Martyrs, This Horror Life, all that stuff. I am not crazy about The Fog. If anybody goes back and listens.
You're just feckin' crazy.
I'm not. Oh, I gotta go Martyrs.
You're crazy. Tom Atkins could speck everybody in Martyrs.
You know this is a bad matchup for me. It's a movie that's batshit crazy against a movie that's a slow burn. You know me.
But The Fog is so good.
I think The Fog is overrated.
I say shame on both of you for throwing out a Carpenter film for some French film.
First of all, you talked about John Carpenter. Pascal Laugier is one of my favorite directors.
Nobody even knows who that is.
I know who he is.
I'm a John Carpenter, and you're talking about Francois Flum Flam, whatever.
That's what I'm going to call him now.
Oh, my God.
I can't. This is an outrage that you just... See, here's the thing. Mikey's just being spiteful. That's all it is. Mikey is mad because Tom Atkins gets to fack everybody and he can't fack anybody. And so now he's mad.
First of all, there are people I can fack, damn you. And second of all,
thank you for saying it. God damn it, I'm so happy you said it.
Oh, fuck. Damn. All right, whatever. Son of a bitch. No, look, this is a bad matchup for me, and you know it. I said it when we watched The Fog. I wasn't crazy about The Fog. I was being respectful of The Fog, given it the score I gave it. And
it's better than fucking Martyrs, Mikey.
It's not better than Martyrs.
Rob, how much did I stand up for Terrifier 2? You know what I'm saying?
Another fucking terrible movie.
I'm sorry, Rob.
This whole tournament's bullshit.
And as unfortunate as it is to not hear more Tom Atkins going forward, like, that's kind of disappointing too. But
this is the only Tom Atkins movie in the whole fucking thing.
Now it's fucking wow when you realize that.
That's when I get mad. Actually, it's not, because he was in the My Bloody Valentine remake. He can fuck some people still.
Great. There was fucking on both sides of the bracket. Oh my God, Kat, we have two Tom Atkins and one.
Could have had another Tom Atkins. Versus himself.
That's what we should have did. We should
Tom Atkins versus Tom Atkins. Who fecks the most?
Which Tom Atkins would fuck the other Tom? The young Tom Atkins would get the older one.
Well, but here's the thing about the Tom Atkins in The Fog that a lot of people forget. He doesn't have a mustache in The Fog.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Let's stop talking about Tom Atkins now.
Still manages to bang Jamie Lee Curtis without a mustache.
We don't know that he did that.
Oh, we know.
Okay, next matchup is A Tale of Two Sisters from...
I'm voting for whatever is coming up next.
All right.
I think there are a couple on here where I might vote for A Tale of Two Sisters, but I think the things that could have easily defeated are out. And actually, that looking at the thing, that might not be entirely true. We've got some stellar movies left on this.
Yeah, there's some real matchups coming up.
There's maybe one where I would still vote for A Tale of Two Sisters.
I could see a couple.
Well, let's see. Ooh.
This was not one of them.
The Last House on the Left, 1972. Zoinks.
Funnily enough, Rob might end up voting for A Tale of Two Sisters here after all that. I think A Tale of Two Sisters, I wanted to have it. This was one I kind of wanted on the bracket because I wanted to talk about the remake. But I do think it's a good movie. I think it did suspense very well. I think the imagery was creepy. The Last House on the Left is one of my... I really like this one. This was my decade. This was my whole gritty 70s thing. And I think it was exceptionally well done.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, The Last House on the Left, is a rough movie. But it was Wes Craven. They did what they were trying to do. I mean, whether we like it or not, that they mission accomplished at a high level.
And to this day, I don't think I've ever been as surprised by the events in a movie as I was the first time I saw Last House on the Left.
God damn.
Like, they made bold choices in that one, you know?
Yeah. Rob?
A Tale of Two Sisters is one of the most confusing movies I've ever seen. It was a fucking mess. I didn't know what was going on. The entire runtime of that movie, I was so lost and confused. Yet I would still pick that over Last House on the Left. Last House on the Left is just a bad movie.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's not well made at all. It is low rent, no good, Craven.
Whoa!
Wow.
Watch your mouth. What are you saying for? Whoa!
No, I'm saying this particular movie is low rent, not very good, Craven.
But still, don't say that at all. And that's not true about this either.
It's not a good movie. Last
House
on the
Left.
It's not. It's just not good.
All right. Well,
it has songs in it that don't make any fucking sense. It's stupid.
Well, it moves on nonetheless. 2-1, Mr. Humphrey.
You guys are ruining this whole fucking tournament. And it's for the Lord Humphrey Cup.
It's not the Lord Humphrey Cup. Oof.
Okay, well, I'm pretty much voting for this.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974.
We're getting ready to get in some really tough stuff, guys.
Yeah,
Rob and I are about to throw hands, I think, because I know that some of his favorites are left.
Yeah, looking at what's left on the wheel, this is going to be really, really difficult going down the stretch.
But I will say, one of these also was in my top five, and it was Texas Chainsaw, so...
Say.
I feel...
Oh, I really wish that it was the other one.
Tough draw.
It would have been easier for the other one.
1988.
But...
No fucking way, bro. Dad, do what you gotta do.
I don't know what I want to do here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's spiteful right now.
Kat, you seem pretty solid in your convictions.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974 is one of, again, it was the other one from my list. It's in like my top five movies of all time. I really enjoy this one. I think it was very well done. It gets, it was the epitome of that 70s era slasher that I just am in love with. It's as a personal favorite, it works really well. It also did so much for the genre. Like, it absolutely revolutionary. I like the franchise a lot. Not all of the franchise, but overall, I think, you know, as a classic franchise goes, it was pretty solid. I like the killer. I like the sort of the atmosphere. It's a winner for me all the way around. And the editing. I know I talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre editing all the time, but it was the fact that it can show so little and is still regarded as one of the goriest films of all time is just astounding to me. Like, absolute masterpiece of a film.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why I'm mad right now. I love Child's Play. Everybody knows I love Chucky. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a better movie. I mean, I might have fought harder for like if it was going up against Bride of Chucky, and trust me, I understand. Like, that's what I love.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have fought harder, but I I gotta be honest here. It's Texas Chainsaw, as much as I hate it. Rob?
If we were picking franchise, it would be Child's Play all day.
Yes.
Because I think Texas Chainsaw is, I know Kat said she likes it, but I think it's a pretty weak franchise overall. But when we're just looking at the original movies, and I Child's Play 1988 is an incredible movie. I really, really like it. But it's just not Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, for God's sakes, that movie is so good. And just the overwhelming, oppressive sense of just hot that you can feel. What you could be sitting in the middle of winter in an air-conditioned fucking room watching that movie and still feel hot while you watch it. It's so good. It has to be Texas Chainsaw. Plus, I'm wearing a Leatherface shirt today.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. All right. It moves on. Damn, that fucking hurt. That was my first real heartbreaker, this one.
That's Shit. A tough one, because Child's Play is a really good movie.
Yeah, it sucks. All right, next matchup. Ooh. Poltergeist. Oh, okay. 1982.
I don't like it when it's that close to the line.
I know. We don't know what the... Yeah. Yeah. Going up against... Oh. Bright Night 1985.
All
right. You guys doing?
Fine, honestly.
Rob?
This is fine with me. I think this is pretty simple for me. This is Fright Night.
Kat?
I'm going to throw a wrench in here. I think these were... I like both of these movies pretty well. I think they were the two weakest left on the wheel. I say not looking at the wheel. That might not be true. But I think I'm going to go with Poltergeist.
Fuck.
Just to be fucking difficult?
Well, no, because Fright Night... This is so dumb. There's not a smart way to describe this. But I feel, you guys know that I'm not real into the 80s vibe. Poltergeist felt like a horror movie that was set in the 80s. Fright Night felt very immersed in its setting, which was in the 80s, which is kind of a, yeah. So as like a personal preference. Okay. Poltergeist is also really iconic. It has very quotable moments. I think the tension's built really well.
I like both movies. Okay, Fright Night is a movie that I've really come to like more over the last handful of years than I used to like. It's more fun than Poltergeist. I will say Poltergeist, like as far as characters go, probably has the better, like that feels like a family. You know, the characters are really well, everything's well written, it's well acted and everything. But ultimately, I just think Fright Night's much more fun. I'm more interested. There's more interesting things happening in Fright Night than Poltergeist, I think. And, you know, it's Jerry fucking Dandridge.
Yeah. I'm going to go Poltergeist.
Dick.
I'm sorry. I like Poltergeist. I like Fright Night, too. Fright Night's good. But, I don't know, Poltergeist's cool, man. It set the tone for a lot of, like, paranormal stuff. And
yeah, it gave us The Conjuring. Thanks, fucking
no,
Poltergeist.
Didn't. No,
wait, I have to go back to Fright.
No. No, if The Conjuring should have watched Fright Night, Poltergeist a little bit more, and it might not be as bad as it is. All right. Well, we're down.
Okay.
Yeah, we're down to our last two here. This could be a fuck of a predicament. There's four choices left, two matchups, and
we finally get an answer to Nigel Drop's favorite franchise.
That would be amazing.
That would be a way to go.
It doesn't give an answer on my favorite franchise, just which one of these movies I like better.
No, it doesn't.
And I think we already know the answer.
I think we already know the answer there. I'm really nervous that I'm going to be a wild card depending on how these are matched up. I'm getting kind of anxious again.
Here we go. Let's find out. There's two heavy hitters and two and another two that are, you know, they're heavy, but it's not that bad. Speaking of one of them, 13 Ghosts from 1960. Okay. This could have been worse.
I'm voting for the other one.
All right.
I don't know that I've ever seen the original 13 Ghosts. Is that William Castle?
It is. Yeah, and it's fine. I like it. It's right. But again, we're up against like three of the.
Well, best. Yeah. I mean,
it can't hold a candle to any of these.
Definitely not this one. A little movie called Halloween from 1978. 13 Ghosts. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Halloween is my favorite horror movie of all time. It is a perfect film. 13 Ghosts is one I've never even seen, and is, I'm just going to guess, not perfect.
It's not perfect. It was the only one of those like really old classics that I was not really prepared to go to bat for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the final matchup for the left side of the bracket, round one, the originals, is The Wicker Man from 1973, going up against Friday the 13th, 1980.
This right here is the matchup that I was afraid of.
Yeah.
We're here.
What are you afraid of? It's easy.
That, yeah, you would think, huh?
No.
I don't think so at all, actually.
Oh, thank God. this is the one that I was really afraid I was going to be like a wild card and get in a lot of trouble for.
Well, you are.
I'm
going Friday the 13th.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know which way to go because The Wicker Man is one of my favorite movies.
Standalone. Like, yeah. That's the thing that really kills me about this is because, I have since we started the show, I've developed more and more of an appreciation for Friday. The more we talk about it, the more I find, these little nuances and stuff. I've come a long way with my appreciation of that franchise on the rewatches. I really love The Wicker Man, though. And if we're looking at just the first Friday the 13th film versus The Wicker Man, I don't want to say it. I'm going to get in trouble. I think maybe I have to go with The Wicker Man.
Right.
Britt Eklund.
That's crazy to me. Okay.
Really? You don't like The Wicker Man?
I didn't say I don't like it, but dude, Friday the 13th was really good. Even I know it doesn't have Jason, I get it, but man, they did a lot in that movie that was great.
Yeah,
started something really phenomenal with Friday the 13th, but I think especially for the time period, The Wicker Man was just like the execution was flawless. Like, there's nothing I would change in The Wicker Man.
Yeah, I love The Wicker Man. I think it's a really, really great movie, and it's one I do really enjoy. And I don't like musicals. but I do enjoy The Wicker Man. Maybe it's because all the songs are offset by all the boobs. I don't know. But I do enjoy The Wicker Man quite a bit. But I say this all the time when people talk about Friday the 13th, for some reason they dismiss this original movie.
Yeah, and I like sticking up for the first one, but
whenever I watch the movie, I'm always surprised at how good it is.
It's really good. I do think, though, I think it has some flaws, which we've talked about on the show. Like, and a lot of it's small stuff, but
well, and there's the one not so small flaw, which is that you're watching a whodunit. You just don't know that you're watching a whodunit. And then the answer to the whodunit is someone you've never seen before. So yeah, there are some definite problems with Friday the 13th. But I enjoy the movie. It's, you know, I like all the characters. I think for the most part, the acting is good. You know, it's got Kevin Bacon in it. He's a good actor. The other people are good as well. They're far from the worst actors to be in Friday the 13th movies anyway.
That's fair.
You know, the effects from Tom Savini are just a great. That score from Manfredini is amazing and iconic. But I do like The Wicker Man a lot. I'm going to go Friday. I'm going to go Friday the 13th. But it's really, really fucking close.
I like The Wicker Man. Dude, it's cool, but it's not that close for me.
Nah, yeah. I think it's really feckin' close.
Damn it. I don't know. It's like everything you mentioned, man. The score, the effects, and you know, we look back on it, it didn't have Jason is what, you know, modern day looks at it. But it's like, dude, it still had a really good fucking, and don't even get into the foundation they built for that franchise. But
you know, that movie in it on its own was they did a lot of really good shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Wicker Man's got really great performances and cool, funny songs about banging the barmaid who happens to be somebody's daughter who's just hanging out laughing about it. And, you know, cult shit is fun, too.
And also, the sense of, like, I think as a horror movie, The Wicker Man was really effective, because that sense of dread when you realize that, like, the guy you've been following isn't the guy that wins, right. You know? Like, that just powerful stuff.
Yeah. But, no, I think Friday is probably the right choice. But, yeah, that's tough. I do wish The Wicker Man had got something different. You know, why couldn't it have been The Wicker Man against fucking...
I wish it had been The Wicker Man against 13 Ghosts, to be honest.
Yeah, that would have made things a little easier. And in that regard, of course, that would have given us Halloween against Friday the 13th, which you guys are rooting for, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to end up with that, I think, pretty much regardless of how this shook out, because...
Yeah.
Next week, yeah, the when we start round two, you're going to have to deal with that. That's going to be the matchup.
I mean, I'm ready to deal with that. I already know the answer is.
Oh, man, there's some heartbreakers coming up in round two, man. Suspiria versus Evil Dead. My Bloody Valentine versus Nightmare on Elm Street. Fuck me, dude. That's fuck. A lot of shit coming up. I don't know. Woo. All right.
Yeah. It doesn't get any fucking easier.
No.
That's the thing. Doesn't. Like, the first round... You know, this week, next week, when we do the remake side, are really, they're not easy, but I think they're probably the easiest, right?
Yeah,
they're shockers. Only get
tougher. Yeah, they only get tougher the further along we go.
Yeah, and there's shockers in round one. Round two, you know what you're going into, and it's just getting down and dirty. There's a lot goes into round one. Round one's a bitch, but the decisions do get harder.
I'm really dreading round two because I'm going to lose a lot of these rounds.
Dude.
We're going to have a lot of bullshit hot takes. I know, but none of it's getting through another round.
Acting like Martyrs is better than Tom Atkins somehow.
Martyrs is better than Tom Atkins. I'm not even saying The Fog here. It's better than Tom Atkins.
Nothing is better than Tom Atkins.
That is funny shit. He said, you got a lot of bullshit through. All right. Next week, we will cover the right side of the bracket, which are the counterparts of these. They're remakes going up against each other. This is going to be interesting, man. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
And maybe we'll get an answer from Greg and Amber to see if they want to take on me and Kat.
Holy shit.
A fucking trivia throwdown.
Oh, I get to referee that, right?
I mean, I guess we got to give you something to do, don't we?
Yeah, what am I going to just fucking sit there? I got to do something, right? Come on. All right, guys. Go to patreon.com/slasherradio. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Make sure you review on iTunes like we talked about earlier. That is very important. Slasherradio.com is no more. Womp womps.
Finally broken, huh?
Finally broken for good, man. It's fucking done forever. No, I didn't break it this time. It's just, you know, you don't need a website anymore, really.
Nah.
You know, there's so many things like iTunes, but like who else, like that's where you go. And then, you know, social media to talk to us, you know, we got the Patreon, you know, if you want the rest of the catalog, Easter egg content, extra show every week. We just had a bitch fest about the new Scream movie. Rob, you have to do the Patreon ranking.
Yeah, that's coming up. Is it next week?
Sometime this month. It's the third month of the year. First quarter's done.
Yeah, Patreon ranking will be happening soon. Highly scientific ranking of the patrons.
So if you want to get in on that, you pick a movie every month. We have to watch it. It's torture sometimes, usually. Get in on the fun. Patreon.com/slasherradio. Follow us on Twitter @slasherradio. And I am @MikeysDead. Rob, we find you.
I'm on Twitter @RadioRob123. Where you can find me.
Kat, where can they find you didn't hear me yet, Kat. Last week I did your VOL. Now I forgot how to spell your name. Where can they find you?
Thank you. Yes, you can find me at Twitter @Kat_Velour, VOLEUR. You can check out my website, katvelour.com.
Yes. And Ooze is hitting stores, I seen, Kat.
And Ooze is in a physical bookstore now. It's creeping toward Rob's bathroom time at Barnes & Noble.
Ooh. It's called Ooze. There's a Barnes & Noble right over by the movie theater I go to.
Give me the phone number. I'll call them and make sure Ooze is stocked.
Yeah. You got nice bathrooms.
Jesus Christ. Come back, check us out next week, guys. We will complete round one as we continue on to Murder Madness. Please be gentle on Twitter. Good night from Slasher Radio. Ooh.
All the best of Slasher Radio podcast.